Ah, yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is the Evolution of Movie Show. My name is Jack Farmer. His name is Andy Rossi, and we've got crowding into the screens for our YouTube viewers. A couple of guests. We've got Stephanie Rossi and Emmy Monzon. Andy, before we let these two talk, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing wonderful. It's great to see you. This is going to be an interesting episode, to say the least.
It's going to be very interesting because we watched a rom-com this week, and so you thought it was a good idea to bring our significant others on the show to talk about it. I'm going to see, we'll all see how smart of an idea this actually is. Stephanie, let's start with you. How are you doing? Thanks for being on the show.
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Very excited to hear your thoughts about this movie. Also very excited to hear Emmy's thoughts on this movie. Emmy, how are you?
Pretty good. I'm excited to be here again for my second appearance.
Of course, this is round two for you. You were on the Aliens review.
Yes.
Very similar movies.
Very similar.
Both really about love and misreading people. Well, yeah. Let's talk about the show. Let's get into it. This is the Evolution of Movie Show. And for people who are new to the show, what we do is we watch movies and then we talk about them book club style, but we call it the Evolution of Movies because we always pick a movie that came out 1 year after the last movie we watched. So started in 1980, went to 1981, 1982. Now we're all the way up to 2009,
wow.
A time when movie theaters were filled with hits like The Watchmen, 500 Days of Summer, and of course, Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
But we aren't talking about any of those. We're talking about He's Just Not That Into You, a movie IMDb describes as this Baltimore-set movie of interconnecting story arcs deals with the challenges of reading or misreading human behavior. Emmy, let's start with you. Had you seen this movie before, and what were your thoughts going into it this time around?
I have seen this movie when it first came out and then a few times after, you know, when these kind of old rom-coms show up on basic cable. And this time looking at it, it hasn't aged as well, but I think it's still kind of nostalgic because it reminds you of when you watched it, but it's problematic for girls today. I'll just say that.
Yeah, basic cable. Speaking of things that didn't age well, lots of things in this movie that don't really apply to the world anymore. Stephanie, did you see this movie when it came out, or was this your first go around?
Yeah, I think I did see it when it came out. Actually, I heard it was a book. My friend was reading the book, and then she was super excited to see the movie. So I can't remember seeing it, but yeah, I did see it when it came out. Yeah.
Yeah, we watched this movie actually like a year ago, and I couldn't really remember it. I remember being like, it's kind of a rom-coms aren't really my thing. But
yeah, right. Liar. Lies.
With rom-coms, like, look, I'll watch a movie with The Rock and he'll like get shot at a million times and never hit, and he'll like bench press a car and I'll be like, that's cool. But with rom-coms, for some reason, I'm like, well, that's not realistic. Andy,
no way Justin Long could own that whole bar,
right? Yeah, with that haircut, I don't think so. Why does Justin Long have my dad's haircut? That's what I want to know.
Why is it a bad thing?
yeah, what's wrong with dad's haircut?
It's just a little long.
So, Andy, this is the part of the show where we like to do the Rotten Tomatoes guess. What's going to happen, ladies, is Andy's going to guess the Rotten Tomatoes score, and then you both will try to pick whether or not the actual score is higher or lower. Stephanie, we're just going to have you guess because Emmy can look at my screen and see the results.
Oh my
gosh. She gets it perfectly.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no, I got to guess first.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, that's right.
So honestly, I'll give my thoughts on this movie, but I don't think it should have too high of a rating in my opinion. But maybe in 2009, people were enjoying this type of movie. I don't know. But I'm not going to give it too high of a score. I think this is around the Scorpion King era. So
the era of the Scorpion.
I'm going to go 41.
41%. Now, Stephanie, do you think the actual score is higher or lower than 41?
I'm going to say higher.
You think higher. So 41 would make it one of the lowest rated movies we've watched. And I've got to say, I'm not the guy who judges acting, but I'm kind of, when I went to pull this up, I was like, you know what? This movie was filled with famous actors, but I don't know if this was their proudest piece of work. Emmy, you can see the score on the screen. Let them know, what was the actual score?
The actual score has it sitting at 41%.
No way!
Oh,
41.
Wait,
Andy, you guessed it right on the button.
That's first. That's a first. That's amazing. What do I win?
I was honestly thinking like 43.
So should we just stop the show? Yeah. Should we never do this again?
That's we peak.
I've never, we've done this.
It's never been right.
We've done this a lot. I've never gotten it right on the dot.
So, Andy, you said you had your thoughts on this movie, and I already spilled the beans that there's a lot of great actors. Like I said, many of them were, this felt like a run through the way they were acting, but what were your thoughts?
On the movie?
You said you were going to give your thoughts on the movie. So just overall, anything about it. Because to me, it stood out very much that these great actors were all very much like,
I couldn't believe it.
I can't believe that we are reading each other wrong. Like it felt
And it's just like, you know, big star after big star, which is crazy. I told Stephanie this, and I think this is the movie. I go, I don't care about anybody in this movie aside from Justin Long and Gigi. Like, I just didn't care about anyone. Like, there was no one in it that I was like, I want to follow their story. And I love the actors. I love Bradley Cooper. I love Jennifer Aniston. Like, I love pretty much everybody in this movie. So it was kind of disheartening. I would say this movie could be described by the little boy in the beginning that says she's poop.
Yeah, it's so funny because, it felt like every scene I watched was something that if you were there, they would do that. And then they'd go, okay, that was great. Let's do it for real this time. You know what I mean? Like they're just running through like, okay, yeah, we got it. Okay, now really put yourself into it. Because I didn't buy any of them. But maybe that's not the point of this movie. And we'll talk about it. But
And you said it was kind of problematic, Emmy. And I agree with you. It seemed like it was very much dude friendly. Way more times than not are the dudes the one that are like, no, man, she's not into you at all. I mean, I'd say sorry to all my friends listening, but the majority of my buddies we grew up with, she's not into you, you know, and it's just like, but you never had that in this movie. It's more like the women were like, oh my God, I love this guy. And it's just like, that's not realistic.
Right. Not realistic for you, Andy.
You notice I said my friends, not me.
Maybe because it's so unrealistic, they have to make it seem like, oh, the guys, you know, the girls need guys' validation and need their love and everything. But it's really, now it's the other way.
Well, there's a lot to break down. Let's get into it. Yeah. Before we do, I always like to say thank you to everyone who's listening on Apple or Spotify or watching on YouTube. If you are, leave a comment, share, subscribe, like, follow, all that stuff. Yeah. Someone gave us a 2-star review on Apple that didn't have the guts to leave a comment about why. That's right. I'm calling you out, Mr. 2-star.
Yeah, give us a 1 or a 5. Either hate it or love it. Hate it or love it. Don't meh it.
That's what hurt the most is they were like, that felt like a real review because they didn't just give us a 1. It wasn't just a troll. It was like, they were actually being fair. They rated us like that. He's just not that into you, a podcast.
Okay, average.
How dare you, 2-star, no comment to explain your reasoning.
We're just not that into you.
But anyways, that said, thank you so much to everyone who's watching. Thank you so much to everyone who's leaving those 5-star reviews and liking, commenting, sharing, subscribing. You guys ready to talk about this movie or what?
Yeah.
Let's do it. So we start. A young girl is called Dog Poo, and her mom tells her that boys do terrible things because they like girls, and that is how it all starts. He's intimidated by you. He's not emotionally secure enough. Instead of, he's just not that into you. We come to present day, and Connor is on a date that he would describe as whatever, but calls Anna right afterwards, but she's too busy at the grocery store and takes Ben's spot in line and his prize. Anna and Ben hit it off, and Ben offers to help her with her music career, but he says he's married and doesn't, quote, do this. They're still friendly after that. Afterwards, Ben's buddy Neil gets home and talks about getting married with his girlfriend Beth. And speaking of getting married, Gigi thinks that the date with Connor went great. She tells her friend Janine, who set her up with Connor but doesn't know anything about him, but she does know about her husband, Ben, and that's what brings us full circle. Stephanie, tell us about the world that we are inhabiting and the characters that live in it.
Oh, man. It all just seems so dysfunctional. But, yeah, I mean, I don't even know where to begin. I guess the over-obsession of, you know, if he'll call me, if he won't call me with Gigi starts with that. And then, you know, will he marry me? Will he never marry me? Oh, there's so many things that drive me crazy, especially with Bradley Cooper, which I forgot his character's name.
Ben
and Scarlett Johansson. Oh my gosh, that whole scenario. Don't get me started on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's so much drama.
This movie definitely has the record for most times I had to go to IMDb and double check someone's name in the movie.
Well, the only reason I knew his name was Ben, because it was like Bradley Cooper was with Ben Affleck, and it would have been easy to just call Ben Affleck Ben, but it's like, no, we're going to make it a little harder. Bradley Cooper's Ben.
So yeah, this was going into this, and Andy, I know that you will appreciate this because we've done a lot of these. We were still very early on in the movie when I thought, this is going to be a nightmare to break down notes for, because all these characters interact and they intertwine. And Andy, when you were this far into this movie, did you pick a favorite? You said you didn't care about anyone by the end, but did you have a favorite at this point in the movie?
You know what? In the very beginning, because I didn't know their relationship, when I saw Bradley Cooper with Scarlett Johansson, I was, and yeah, like you, I don't know any of their names. Like, it's Scarlett and Coop, ScarJo and Coop. I kind of thought there was like a nice little connection there. And then it was kind of like a cute story how he let her go in front of her and then she wins, a cooler?
Yeah,
so I've been to the grocery store so many times and I've never won a cooler. And I've never been the 100th. I don't think they really do that. It's only in the movies. No. So, I mean, I guess I kind of liked them and was hopeful for poor Gigi. But once you figure out Cooper's like married and stuff, you're like, oh, well, what the heck, man? So I think it was just like Stephanie said, like a bunch of dysfunction in the beginning. And like, I was just amazed at how many people kept popping up that you're like, what? They're in this? They're in this?
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot Why? The same thing.
Here. Why are they?
I was like, wait, Jennifer Aniston's in this?
Yeah, Emmy, my question for you is, did you tell all of your friends and gush about whether or not I was going to call you?
No. Well, I want to know this.
No.
Can you call me? I mean, you don't talk about when you're getting a phone call, maybe in high school or middle school. But
that's
not as an adult.
Was about.
Not as a...
Oh, I love that they brought back MySpace, too.
Oh, yeah, the MySpace references. But
yes.
Yeah.
Jack, Emmy, do you guys know anything about MySpace?
Yeah.
We have a little,
this
little
movie,
history there.
This movie felt like a shot at us personally.
I wasn't going to say anything. But
you were kind of, they're kind of mocking us in different ways.
I stopped the movie halfway through and was like, this movie is like making fun of us. We're the couple that they're making fun of.
Dysfunctional couple.
They give you a special thanks at the end.
This movie, one of the things I love about doing this show is looking back at old movies and seeing just how much they aged. And before we get into the next part, we'll talk about it now. This movie aged so poorly in so many ways. Like, it's weird to think that 13 years ago, people were on MySpace. They didn't have iPhones. They still had landlines.
Right.
So like the idea of online dating wasn't a thing. Like, it's so weird that it was just 13 years ago that all this changed. Andy, how much online dating are you doing?
I met Stephanie in this year, 2009. So I did have a BlackBerry.
Yeah,
I remember that
when this movie came out.
Did you stress out about
after this movie?
Did you guys stress out about when's he gonna call?
No.
I guess not.
We'll just admit on here that we did in fact meet on MySpace. Maybe that's why I didn't gush over and worry about you calling, because we were first communicating through text.
Were your friends at work saying MySpace is booty call?
Is the new booty call? I don't remember that.
I don't remember that. I don't remember what MySpace was.
Because there was no Facebook, right?
Or there was.
It hadn't taken off yet. That's why everyone was on Facebook.
It was college students. Yeah.
Well, let's get on with this.
Well, I did want to mention one thing. My favorite line, my favorite character in the whole movie is in the beginning, the little boy saying she looks like dog poo and she's poo. Yeah. This made me I thought that was hilarious.
That brought back some bad memories for me.
But I am glad that even 13 years ago.
Did you call someone dog poo?
No, a boy called me.
Same here.
Oh, wow.
In kindergarten.
Boys were mean.
Boys were really mean. Yeah.
But I did like how they said, like, oh, he just likes you. And then they said, like, no, that's like bullshit, you know? So I'm glad at least this movie did do that. Because I was like, oh, my God, if they were just going to keep, and it's movies only 13 years ago, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's just because he likes you. And then they just leave it. I would have been like, oh, my, come on. That's horrible.
That is kind of what this movie's about, though, is that never ending cycle of girls thinking that guys that are mean like them. Mm-hmm. And then that reinforcing to guys, you treat girls poorly and they'll like you.
That's okay.
And it's this like vicious cycle that never stops because people keep telling themselves that's the way it's supposed to work, which I think is kind of the overall theme of the movie that I'll just bring up in the very beginning. Not wrapping this one up beautifully. Nope. not landing the plane. We're just going to get right to it. So we get to the first part of the movie that's called If He's Not Calling You. Gigi discusses the rules of phone calls after a date before finally calling Connor and leaving a voicemail that is not great. When he doesn't call her back, she goes to the bar he frequents, hoping to see him there, but instead meets Alex, who feels bad for Gigi and breaks the news. If a guy doesn't call you, it's because he doesn't want to call you. Mary, who's Drew Barrymore, by the way, tells Anna, who's Scarlett Johansson, by the way, that being a home wrecker is cool. So Anna calls Ben and he says he can't leave his wife. So Anna goes crawling back to Connor, who rubs her feet and makes her feel better before she leaves him high and dry. At work, Gigi shares what Alex told her with her friends, that everyone thinks they're the exception to the rule when in fact they are the actual rule. And the whole unlikely, but it could happen thing is not really ever going to happen to them. Mm-hmm. That gets Beth thinking, and she gives Neil an ultimatum. Marry her or she's leaving. She leaves.
Wow.
That's a good summary.
That was a good summary. That was great.
Yes, mm-hmm. a lot. I'm a professional here, folks. Even though I'm holding the microphone and I got no background and this looks like a prison cell, I am a professional.
We need that two ranking.
That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that two star at least deserves a three for that wrap up. Andy, we're going to start with you here. Do you buy that? Have you ever not called someone that you liked because you were scared or intimidated? Or is it true? Like, if you want to call someone, you'll call them.
Yeah, I think you definitely will call them. Yeah, if you don't, I mean, that makes no sense. Like, you might want to give it like a grace period, you know, so you don't seem too desperate. Yeah, you don't want to seem too desperate. So I know when I was in the game, I'd usually wait like 2 days. I think when I met Steph, I probably waited like a couple of days.
No, it was the next morning.
Oh, I called it the next morning. Okay. Well.
And we didn't even leave till like 1 or 2 in the morning.
I guess I was desperate. Well, because I really liked
it. It was cute.
So the people I was like,
it was a good morning text.
Oh, look at me.
You guys are cute together. You should stay together.
Should we do this?
Yeah, so you were a 2 day guy.
I thought so, but maybe it was just everyone before Stephanie, of course. You know, give him at least a couple. Mm-hmm. And you want to think about it too. Like, I don't know, you might be kind of drunk when you first meet him. Maybe like let the day to go. I don't know. Maybe.
I was like the movie Swingers, where me and my friends all be like, well, not 1 day, not 2 day. And we'd all settle on like 3 months later.
Well, the scary thing too is back then you could, you know, before cell phones, even like the Swingers time, you could lose the number. You could write it down and then like you throw it out on accident or something smudges the numbers or something. So, you know, you gotta.
Unless you're Andy Rossi and calls your phone in front of you and leaves a voicemail to make sure you have the number.
There you go.
Let me ask you this, Stephanie, was Andy a stalker? Was he creepy? Was he Jesus?
It was very interesting. Yeah, he kind of followed me to a party and then maybe to a Denny's later.
Oh, okay.
Very romantic.
Yeah.
So So Andy would play Gigi in this movie.
I do have Gigi qualities, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? Can we talk about Gigi for 1 second?
Yeah.
Gigi is poor Gigi, but she has the total makings of She's All That, where they make her like put muffin in her hair at one point when she's walking into work.
Mini muffins, yeah.
And they just make her like so like distraught and terrible. Gigi's not that bad. Like they just make her out to be like she's like this horrid crazy monster.
You're right. It is very She's All That, where like you expect someone to be like, let's do a makeover, and they pull a pin out of her hair and she goes, and it's like, yeah. Yeah. Long hair comes out.
I loved her stuff with the pen though. I just felt so bad. It's so cringy when she's like, he forgot his pen. You're just like, that's not his pen.
Was
I like how Justin Long knew his dentist though.
Is his dad.
That's right. Sorry.
Oh, it's his dad.
That's right. Never mind.
Okay. Would you go to your friend's dad if they were a dentist? I feel like that'd be too close.
Weird.
That'd be weird.
I think I would. Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe not doctor or therapist, but teeth, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want, like, Andy, if your dad was a dentist, I don't know if I'd want your dad's hands rooting around in my mouth.
Rooting around?
As long as it's just his hands.
Well, that's
a different
place to go. So I felt really bad for Ben Affleck here. Neil is his name. Because look, he's like just living his dream, having a good day, you know, hanging up painting, doing his honey-do list, feeling good about himself. And then suddenly Hurricane Beth comes through and ruins his day because she heard something at work that he has nothing to do with. His whole life is set out of motion because of some conversation his girlfriend overheard at work. I thought that was just ridiculous. Right, Emmy?
Right. Got all worked up.
Yeah, it's all Gigi's fault.
So, Emmy, at this point, we're starting to see sort of the characters interacting and how there's going to be some conflict between them. You'd seen the movie before, but when you saw it this time around, what were you kind of thinking about these relationships? Did you think that this is unrealistic? Did you think, oh, wow, it's kind of cool they're all interconnecting? What were you thinking about the connections of these people?
From a story standpoint, I thought it was interesting that they all interconnected. There was like 1 degree separation between everyone.
Like but Pulp for the Fiction. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like what? Pulp Fiction?
Pulp Fiction.
Very, yeah. Rom-com. Just like that. Pretty much the same type of movie.
Exact same.
But with the relationships, I thought they were mostly unrealistic. And of course, it's a movie. So it all felt very exaggerated. Just even the way Gigi was, Ben and Jennifer Aniston.
Ben and Anna. Scarlett Johansson, or Ben and Janine, Jennifer Connelly.
No, I'm referring
to, by the way, aged beautifully. I just saw Top Gun.
Yeah, I actually thought she looked better. Right. Good.
Move over, Paul Rudd. Someone else knows how to travel time.
I know. She should get more credit for that. So where was I? Oh, I'm referring to Jennifer Aniston and Ben Affleck's character.
Neil.
That seems a little realistic, but these days, not everyone is like, oh, marriage or nothing. You know, people work out different kinds of relationships. I guess the most unrealistic would be, how Gigi was. Maybe, unfortunately, I think Bradley Cooper and Scarlett Johansson, that seemed a little realistic. You see that happen often. But overall, it's just a little exaggerated for the movie. Yeah.
And we should say it to everyone who's listening or whatever. Emmy and I have been in a relationship for a long time and we are not married. So that's why we took it personally. I took it personally. Like, I was like,
MySpace, not married.
We met on MySpace. We're not married.
We're this, stalkers.
We stalk people. We call them. We call them back the next day.
You're the exception.
Yeah,
we're the exception. Getting old to beat him after this episode.
I gotta go hang a painting.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting how she's just like, either we're married or we're not.
Yeah, it's dumb. Very over something you heard at work from a girlfriend.
I know.
You could change your whole life over that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was even like, where's this coming from? She's like, I've been hiding it for 5 years. I'm like, well, yeah, whose fault is that?
Yeah.
We should talk about it.
It's not Neil's fault that you repress your feelings.
You know, Ben Affleck's he's pretty great in this. Every time, you're right, like, every time you see him, he's kind of like, the one time he's like, just hanging a painting. And another time he's just cleaning some dishes. Yeah. Like, then he's on the boat. He's just always chilling. I need some of that.
He's not sleeping around or anything. He's just...
Yeah,
being a good guy.
The funny thing about Ben Affleck, and this was everyone in the movie, really, but Ben Affleck, it was weird as when this movie came out, I remember thinking, it's so weird seeing Ben Affleck as an older guy, like, with his life together. But then going back and watching now, I'm like, he's so young and thin and youthful. It's weird remembering when this movie came out and how I saw him, and now looking back and seeing it, and it was just a weird change of perspective on old on young Ben Affleck here. But speaking of Ben Affleck, speaking of Beth, we get to the next part of this movie. If he's not marrying you, Ben decides to go to Anna's yoga class and skinny dip with her, even though he just talked to Janine about having kids. Once Ben gets home, Janine confronts him about some cigarettes she found, but he blames the people working on their house. Later at his office, Anna asks Ben why he got married in the first place, and he tells her that Janine gave him an ultimatum, so he chose to marry her. In some pretty decent storytelling there when you compare it to what just happened with Beth and Neil. Speaking of ultimatums, Beth is getting made fun of at her sister's wedding rehearsal dinner for being single, while Mary, that's Drew Barrymore, talks about getting MySpace before calling Connor to discuss his ad placement in a magazine that is a print ad, which between MySpace and print ads, aged beautifully. Gigi gets a guy's number during happy hour, but he blows her off, so she calls Alex, who tells her that the guy just isn't that into her, and if he wants to see her, he'll see her. Then on a date, Gigi calls Alex to ask for advice about a guy who says he's leaving town the next day, to which Alex says he's also not that into you. Eventually, Alex says he'll set up Gigi with his friend Bill. But due to mixing up days, Bill can't make it and Alex shows up instead. Meanwhile, Janine grills Javier about contracts and smoking, but it's more awkward than illuminating. And at an open house, two gay guys tell Connor that they think he needs to take charge of the Anna situation.
Wow.
Wow.
Look, this is about as this was as, I'm trying. Okay.
That was good.
This was probably the bulkiest chunk of the movie, Emmy. And this is where the storylines go from being individuals to being interconnected to now just entangled. And we see that everyone is connected to everybody in some kind of way. But I want to talk a little bit about Ben and Anna. And I'm going to say it right now. Everyone hates Ben, Bradley Cooper, clearly. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Anna's a jerk too.
She's awful.
She's a horrible person.
She's awful.
And awful. Yeah. There's no difference between them.
Andrew Barrymore was awful.
I never felt bad for either of those characters. Yeah.
They were both terrible people. I was actively rooting against both Ben and Anna throughout this whole movie. But Anna, I think, is the worst because she actually messes up multiple people's timelines here. And whether it be Connor or whether it be Ben or everyone else, we'll get into the Connor side of it. But kind of break down what's going on with Ben and Janine and Anna for us.
That's
okay. Jennifer Connelly, Bradley Cooper, and Scarlett
Johansson. This is where she found the cigarettes the second time.
Just the first time she found the cigarettes, and she's and Bradley Cooper says they're not mine. They must be the people working. Right. So he's lying to her twice. But we don't know he's lying twice yet. But then also he's trying to be nice with her. But then, this is kind of the development of his relationship with ScarJo.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was already a red flag. We know that. I mean, we all know those cigarettes were his. I will say this, though. I want to add something.
Let me ask you, the first time you saw it, did you think they were his? Or do you think that was just supposed to be a red herring when you first saw it?
I thought it was going to be a red herring.
Because we never see him smoke them.
Right. Yeah, and I trusted him because
he's Bradley Cooper.
He's Bradley Cooper. He was honest. Yeah. He looked her in the eye and said those weren't my cigarettes. But I will say that I want to add this little character analysis here. They wanted to make, obviously, they're bad people, right? Anna and Ben. but they wanted to also like have some empathy for Anna by showing a contrast of how the wife is super type A and square compared to this free spirit artist. And it's like, yeah, oh yeah, maybe they're not a fit. Maybe they should be, maybe this is the exception, right? Like mm-hmm. they kind of made Jennifer Connelly out to be like a boring partner for Ben. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. let's root for this forbidden love that's happening, right? I don't know if you guys felt that. I felt that kind of.
Yeah, I felt that.
Mm-hmm. I think it kind of goes with what the whole point of the story is, though, which is everyone thinks they're the exception to the rule. And while the idea of Ben leaving his wife for this new person and them being together happily forever is unrealistic, they were trying to make us, the viewer, be the exception to the rule and be like, well, maybe they are a good couple. Maybe this is the right thing. Mm-hmm. Was there ever a point, Stephanie, where you were rooting for Ben and Anna? Bradley
Cooper,
ScarJo.
No. Not at all. No. I think from the moment he was like, I'm married, and she was like, there's no harm in the business card.
Right.
I was like, isn't there?
And where's there a gym with an open pool like that?
Yeah. I will say they made Jennifer Connelly too seem like very uptight. Did you ever see her just like let loose? She was always like,
well,
did
once.
You smoke these cigarettes? Did you do this? Where were you? Like, I don't know. Like, the whole time she was acting, I'm like, is she like Jedi mind tricking him? Like, every time she's trying to talk to him? I don't know. It was just kind of funny to me. I'm like, dude. But I don't blame her. But
yeah, she didn't seem like on the verge of attacking somebody.
Yeah, even the workers.
Poor Javier.
I know. Are we going to tarp this furniture, Javier?
Yeah, like the way she talked, you're right. She almost was talking like a prosecutor in a courtroom. Like she was mm-hmm. about to reveal the big evidence that was going to reveal everyone was wrong. Like, did you tarp this? Because I have video evidence here.
Yes. So in that sense, if she's always like that, I feel bad for Bradley Cooper. But at the same time, I don't, you know.
It doesn't justify his
does not.
Can I talk about one line too that I thought was great?
Yeah.
Jennifer Aniston, her comedic delivery is so great in that scene with they're telling her something about Al Pacino. She's like, so would I be Al Pacino in this?
I
thought that was funny.
I was actually thinking poor Beth, like she just ended a very long relationship. And the first thing her family does is at a wedding, just buries her for it.
Yeah. That's horrible. That's just
jerky.
Mean the condescension and like, oh no, it's okay. Like the whole,
it's okay to be single your entire life. Like
Al Pacino.
She just broke up. Like give her some time. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, because if you're a guy and you're going to be single back in the day, you'd say, look at Clooney, man. He's older. He's single.
Know.
But for Aniston, they're like, look at Al Pacino. He's great.
So, but Andy, I do want to talk to you about, I love talking to you about the aging of movies. And of course, the fact that Drew Barrymore is talking about getting MySpace selling paper print ads to a real estate agent. But also, I want you to talk about Mary, Drew Barrymore, all of her friends at work who are different than Gigi's friends. It's a bunch of dudes.
Drew Barrymore is so charming, yet she is such a villain in this because she tells Gigi in the very beginning, she tells
Anna
Scarlett. She says, go for the married guy.
Yeah,
go for
it's
it.
Horrible.
So
it's okay. It's an exception.
She's like, she's like, maybe he's meant to be with you.
She says this, yet I never once was like rooting against her. I always wanted her. I felt really bad for her, like, and her friends that are helping her out and like trying to give her advice and literally are like around the computer for her and helping her out. So, I enjoyed Drew Barrymore in this. I thought she did a good job, but you're right. She does that whole speech about like, you got to see them on MySpace and then their BlackBerry, then call their voicemail. And I was like, there's so much more things now. 13 years ago, there was a lot, but now there's like double.
Way more. You can track and see if they read something or.
I was thinking BlackBerry. MySpace.
There's so many more now. You would think that she does make sense, though. Remember back in the day, you just leave a message on someone's answering machine, and then it's embarrassing. You go, oh, no, Now it's like you can send a million messages.
Yeah.
The BlackBerry for some reason cracked me up when I saw Bradley Cooper pull his out. I was like, BlackBerry.
Yeah, his was like huge too. There was one line.
Yeah. Oh, they look like calculators.
They look like little, little calculators.
Yeah. There was one line that I did like that Justin Long says to Gigi. He just says like, "You can't go for guys that don't like you," and she says, "But there'll be no one left then." It felt so bad for her. Poor Gigi.
Before moving on to the next scene, I do want to talk to you guys, speaking about things that age and whatnot, is and Emmy, I want to talk to you because this was a point of discussion for us as we watched this movie. I couldn't get over this. I could not get over this. Why did everyone's home look like it was an office with exposed brick?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that stuck out to me and bothered me as well. I think a lot of it is the time the movie came out and the way they lit the set or the office they used as people's apartments. It's like too perfectly lit, like almost bordering on that. You know how soap operas have their stage lighting? And I think that's what it was. And just the like awkwardly high walls or the frosted glass, like everything was, it looked like an office. Like everything had all the, anything with glass was frosted.
Yeah, like Connor's house, Eric from Entourage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like his front door was clearly an office front door. Like with the yellow, what would you call it? A foggy glass?
The frosted glass.
Yeah. I was like, this is clearly an office building.
And trivia for anybody, what city was this supposed to be?
Baltimore.
I don't know much about Baltimore, but it didn't give it like it's like never mentioned. It's kind of like it feels like it was like, well, it's kind of New York-y. That's kind of what it felt like. Yeah. It was very generic.
Like the homes outside looks kind of New York-ish.
There were also things, and this is I love the Marvel movies. I'll be like, oh, that's so cool. This guy built a suit that can do anything. But I watch this movie and I'm like, why does Connor have a friend, Alex, who can't pay his cable bill, yet he can afford to live in this massive loft with high ceilings? Why is there such income disparity between these friendships? That's unrealistic.
Wait, again, Alex couldn't pay for rent? Didn't he own that bar?
I know.
No. Remember, he came home from the date with Gigi at the beginning. He's like, "What are you doing over here?" And he's like, "Oh, my cable went out.
Oh,
and I'm watching TV." So he's watching TV at Connor's house.
I think the problem is, how did he get in there?
Yeah, I would not be that. I love you, Andy, but if I came home one day and you were just watching TV at my house, I'd be like, this isn't okay.
How'd you get in here?
Okay, I guess I won't come this weekend then.
I guess I won't come over again.
Oh yeah, I never did that before.
Well, let's move on in this movie as we get to the part where if she's not sleeping with you, Ben cheated on his wife, the jerk. And while at Home Depot, Ben confesses, but much to his surprise, Janine wants to make things work. Later, Janine tells Gigi about what's happening, but Janine places the blame on herself. Mary gets a voicemail from Jude singing her a beautiful song. She also gets a voicemail from Jude with a beautiful song for Jenny. At her sister's wedding, Beth sits next to a fella named Brother Phoenix Easthorse, and he lives a life of nature-based pre-Christian paganism before Beth's dad has a heart attack. Elsewhere, Alex invites Gigi to a party, so Gigi thinks that Alex is just that into her. So at the party, she plays the role of co-host by refilling chips, bringing out drinks, and cleaning up afterwards. But when she makes her move, Alex gets upset that she misread the situation, and Gigi calls him a big old lonely meanie. Emmy, have you ever helped someone with a party that you thought was into you that wasn't?
No. It wasn't that cool to even be invited
to the party. Oh, no. Are you Gigi?
Oh, my God. It wasn't
Gigi. Gigi got invited to the party.
Oh, no.
Would we still be together if my name was Brother Phoenix Easthorse and I lived a life that was nature-based pre-Christian paganism?
That's a pretty cool name and background. Yeah. I think so.
Sounds like an interesting story.
I know, it's very interesting.
Andy, this is where, for me, the most heartbreaking moment of the movie was obviously Janine finding out that Ben cheated on her, but her blaming herself for everything, I thought, was actually the most heartbreaking part of the movie. Tell me a bit about this relationship and how it looked like it was going to be over, but it is absolutely not.
Yeah, I was, it kind of made me laugh, though, when he's like, I already talked to Ben Affleck. I'm just going to go stay. It was like,
yeah, he had it all.
I felt like she was kind of a fool to be like, oh, no, I want to save it. It's like, no, he's cheated on you. He's smoking cigarettes. He already figured out his placement where he's going to go.
But she did her Jedi mind trick again. She's like, don't you want to work this out? Don't you want to figure it out?
She did
have weird delivery. You're right.
Robotic.
Yeah, it bothered me a little bit.
Maybe she was a robot.
But maybe
and then he's like, oh, okay, yeah, let's figure this out.
And maybe to Ben's defense, I gotta play devil's advocate, so I gotta try to defend this terrible person. I mean, she was kind of a weirdo, right? Steph, like, they're picking out flooring, and she's like, I don't like wood that pretends it's wood.
Yeah,
not wood. Like, it was she was
an intense conversation about wood.
Was she pushing him away? Was it her fault?
I mean, yeah.
Maybe a little bit. I think he was afraid of her. I mean, I think he was afraid of her.
He should have just divorced her, or never married her. Yeah.
You know, we started this conversation, Andy, with, I was asking you, did you have any favorites? Or I can't remember who I asked. I asked someone if they had any favorites.
Favorite characters is Andy.
My favorite, Andy, Jude. That guy has never seen him on screen, but he singing voicemails.
Oh,
what a star.
Oh, dude.
I like how he realized it in the voicemail.
Whoops. Yeah. That's like the equivalent of, I've heard a friend do this, but swipe on Tinder. Just swipe yes to everyone, hoping that a girl will say yes. Because the odds are better if you say yes to everyone. And then maybe 2 out of the 100 girls will match with you.
Yeah.
So this friend. Guy's just, this guy's just saying to everyone. In Jude's defense, the song could go with any name, you know, sketchy.
You know what was great about this? And I don't know how intentional this was or if it was just a lucky coincidence. That Facebook profile was the ultimate quintessential bad Facebook profile. If you could, with a Bon Jovi song headline and a picture of just half his face, and I looked at that, I was like, I knew nothing about Jude at this point. I was like, Jude's a creep. I can tell right away.
I thought you were gonna say your favorite character is Brother Osgood or whatever.
Brother Phoenix Eastcourse. Yeah. Living a life of nature-based pre-Christian paganism. I had to rewind it 3 times to write that down.
Wow.
I mean, he's interesting.
He's an interesting character. He sounds like he'd be friends with, what's the character from The Office?
Dwight.
Oh, yeah.
So we kind of continue on here. We don't kind of continue on. We just actually continue on to the point where it says, if he's sleeping with someone else, Ben is still fooling around with Anna at his office when Janine shows up. Ben tosses Anna into the closet and Janine tries to save her marriage. Anna is disgusted by this and calls Ben disgusting for it, even though she's very much an accomplice in the whole affair. Anna feels so terrible, she goes to Connor and uses him as well, telling him that she also wants a relationship and even lets him snuggle with her before he says he can see a future with her. And so, much like Ben, she realizes that this one is also done and says she can't do it and ends that relationship as well. Janine, on the other hand, goes home and is putting the finishing touches on the new place when she finds more cigarettes and then loses it, finally getting a divorce from Ben. Neil goes to Beth's family's house and helps take care of her dad, and Beth tells him that it's okay if they don't get married because they love each other as long as he gets rid of the pants. Alex starts to realize that he is that into Gigi after all, so he swoops in after his friend Bill pays for dinner and finally moves things to the next level with Gigi. I want to start with Neil. Broke up with Beth, but he sneaks into her parents' house and starts cleaning it. Is that a romantic gesture or is that creepy?
it's on the creepy side. I want to call it creepy. Maybe the way they portrayed it in the movie is like, it's, oh, this is just what people do, is the significant other can just go into the parents' house and do chores or whatever. But they weren't married. They were together for what, 5 years?
Seven.
7 years.
But she held back marriage for five.
Oh, she held back. Talking about five.
How many times more did you this? Watch this?
Maybe I'm going to get the ultimatum after this episode.
It's the part of me I've been hiding from you.
I would just say it's weird. It's definitely weird. Mm-hmm. Especially they're broken up. I would just assume he asked the parents, like, hey, is it okay if I surprise my ex and just be helpful around the house on the wedding day or like during the wedding?
After the next day, I believe. So, Stephanie, I got to ask you this. If you and Andy broke up and you were like taking care of your dad, if Andy just showed up to your dad's house and was like, can I come in and start doing dishes? Would your dad say okay? Or would he be like, maybe you should talk to Stephanie first?
Yeah, he probably would ask or tell him to ask me first. But I don't know. I was thinking 7 years is a long time. Maybe they're really close with the family. And if he knew how they broke up, you know, just didn't want to get married. I don't know. I think it's kind of a nice gesture, especially if you have idiot in-law, you know, husbands that aren't helping out, or and he got the call or found out from a family member, oh, hey, your dad had a heart attack or her dad had a heart attack. I don't know. I think that was a sweet gesture.
Andy, was Neil the ultimate winner in this movie? I mean, he got everything he wanted. He didn't really have to change much. I think he keeps the pants in the end. And he got to skip the wedding.
Yes. I mean,
true. I didn't think about that.
And I don't know. I thought him coming in and cleaning the plates was such a great, such so nice. Fitting. Like I said, every scene, Ben Affleck's just chilling.
Like an angel.
He's putting up a painting.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
just hanging out in the boat. He's just, and the way he was cleaning dishes, it looked like he's never cleaned a dish in his life. He's just like, oh, hey. I'm guaranteeing those were already clean. And he was just like, oh, hey, you just caught me at the end of all the cleaning I've been doing.
Did anyone notice that painting he was staring at on the wall when they broke up, him and Beth?
Yeah.
Where she's like, you don't want to marry me? Okay, fine. She goes in the room and shuts the door and he's just staring at a painting. And the words just say should.
Yeah, it's a really weird part.
I'm like, oh, is this foreshadowing?
I bet the director was probably so proud of themselves.
Right? I was like, hmm.
The director of cinematography is like, good stuff.
Because I'm like, that's such a random painting to have in your house. It just says should. Who's hanging up a painting like that?
Are we going to talk about the office scene, though? That scene's insane.
Oh, God. I was so angry.
The office? Oh, with the... Yes, Andy, take it away, because again, and I'm going to preface this by saying, again, I think Anna's the worst because she is actively trying to make this breakup happen. She's actively a part of this.
Well, because Drew Barrymore told her.
See what she's doing. She dumps all of that onto Ben, like she had nothing to do with it and was taken advantage of and fooled. But then she immediately goes to Connor and completely uses him because... She was just like, I need someone. I guess you're here. You're a sad, pathetic loser that will let me into your life for a night. Anna's a jerk. She's the biggest jerk of all.
Connor snuggling with her made me laugh out loud, though. He has his like leg around her waist. Kind of like, you'll never be gone. Like, I'll never let you go.
A big grin on her face.
It's so funny. It just shows exactly that relationship. She's into Cooper, and then E is into her, but she's not into him. And I was laughing at Bradley Cooper in this movie because I just felt like this was right around the same time as probably Wedding Crashers, and maybe The Hangover was pretty soon. Bradley Cooper just had such a douchebag look. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like as he's gotten older, he's. I think we've got to know Bradley Cooper more, and he seems like a nice dude, and he like doesn't come across as that in his movies quite as much anymore. But I just the whole movie, I'm just like, just look at him, look at him, he's a jerk.
Yep. Yeah.
But
he's gonna cheat on you. Look at him.
He has frosties.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would have if I were Scarlett Johansson. I would have jumped right out of there, out of that closet, and created.
Yeah, she stayed there the whole time.
What? Put it on the spot. Yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah, she was my Ben takes a close second for jerk of the movie, but Anna gets my jerk of the movie award, which is a new award I'm giving out for the first time.
Yeah, you should keep this up.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, Mary Jane Watson was jerk of the movie in Spider-Man. There's a lot of them. But yeah, she was a total jerk, but she gets away at the end of it. She's almost presented like, oh, well, she's finally learning to like live on her own and blah, blah. No, she's a jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah. She'll do it again.
And he literally right. like bought her a house and she's like, I'm good. And sure. then he still tries. He's like, well, what if we just have sex? And she's like, no, still no.
I actually was proud of Connor for that. He's like, listen.
Hey, he threw out all the cards. Tried.
I may not hit a home run, but I want to hit a double. You know what I mean? Like, if I can get on base.
Yeah.
I was actually had proud of him for that.
A for effort.
But we wrap it up here. And in a scene that's very similar to the end of The Dark Knight Rises, Mary invites herself over to Connor's table. And then in a scene very similar that to everyone else on Earth, she deletes her MySpace account. Neil ends up proposing to Beth anyways, and they get married on a boat. Ben finds himself alone and back in the cashier's line while Janine puts her life back together. Gigi and Alex are hosting parties together and living happily ever after. And the movie ends with interviews of the couples and what they're doing now. Stephanie. Now, we got told earlier on, Ben got married because he was given an ultimatum and he decided to go through with it. But it ended with infidelity and heartbreak. Neil ends up proposing to Beth for the same reason. How do you think that works out?
Oh, man. I don't know. They're all doomed.
Yeah. Well, I think Justin Long and Gigi are going to be just
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, I think Justin Long and Gigi will work itself out. They seem perfect for each other.
That whole situation with them I thought was so funny, how she just like jumps on the couch with him and he's like not quite ready, but then now he realizes it. And then I don't know, their kind of pursuit of one another I actually thought was cool. That was like my favorite relationship. And how there wasn't a Bill, because when Bill didn't show up for the dinner, I was like, oh, Bill, you know, Justin Long likes her. But then there's a real Bill, and there's a part of me that kind of wanted her to go for Bill. He seemed like kind of a nice guy.
But did he tell Bill the wrong date on purpose? I was
Bill actually seemed like a great fit for Gigi too, the way he was talking.
Yeah.
They seemed like they would be happy together.
Aww.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unlike Justin Long, who would probably overanalyze everything in their relationship and say, well, this is what it really means, Gigi.
That was a pretty good Justin Long. But I think he realizes it, that, you know, and he actually does like her. And Jack, you probably like this. They had the pen, and then they had the pen return.
Yes.
Oh, the callback for the pen.
I love a good callback.
We like callbacks.
That was cute.
Star 69, baby.
Callback.
That won her over right there.
Mm-hmm. Was Star 69 still a thing back then too, you think?
I don't think. Maybe. I guess it was. Probably. Apparently, like, everything that was old was still around in 2009 because so much stuff seems so dated. I forgot that Connor had never seen Mary before, or that he hadn't seen Drew Barrymore before. Mm-hmm. So when that scene was first set up where they were at the diner, I was like, how can he not see her? She's right there.
Yeah.
I was like frustrated. I was like, how do you not notice she's right there?
Or like hear her because they're on the phone? I don't know.
Yeah.
That was weird.
It would have been funny if there's like a second take and he doesn't pick up the call. He sees
just
and
like,
he's like, ugh. No thanks.
Emmy, would you now? Mary had tried to set up Anna with Connor. Uh-huh. So Drew Barrymore tried to set up ScarJo with E from Entourage.
There you go.
It didn't work out. Mm-hmm. If you had tried to set your friend up with a guy and they were together, but it didn't work out, and then you saw the guy, would you be interested in that guy, or would he be off limits?
No, I'd be off limits because I was trying to set him up with my friend.
Right.
Yeah.
Does that apply to Alex and Gigi? Because Alex tried to set up Gigi with a friend. Mm-hmm. And then right after Bill paid for dinner, Alex swoops in the cheapskate.
And then Gigi dated E from Entourage in the beginning, which is Justin Long's friend too. So there's everybody.
And then he calls Anna right after their date.
This, So Justin Long is going to see that? Gigi yeah. all the time, and then Eve from Entourage is going to see
They're
Gigi.
All messed up.
Yeah, everybody's.
It's going to be awkward.
Yeah,
it's going to be a very weird wedding. I want to see one wedding, like one of them get married, but everyone's there and it's awkward. And you know,
wait, when Jennifer Aniston, I forgot her name again, Beth and Neil, when they got married on the boat, where were the other people that intertwined? Were they not at their wedding?
I guess not.
Right? Because she knows they all work together. Gigi, oh, yeah. Connolly. Who else does she know? Does she know Drew Barrymore?
I guess they're not as good of friends as they thought.
I guess not. They're just coworkers, I guess.
And Neil are friends.
Because none of them were at her wedding. Yeah.
Where was Coop?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Ben Bradley Coop. Cooper wasn't on the boat.
Yeah.
Where was
I don't know. It was
where
weird.
Was Luis Guzman?
Weird wedding.
He should have had a bigger too. Party.
How much...
I thought it was weird that they like decided to get married all of a sudden, but
I want to know how much Luis Guzman got paid for that. It was like one scene, but he's just, like he didn't do it for free. Like, what did they pay him for that?
He needed some diversity.
And he also thought she was crazy. For the record,
it was a very Caucasian cast.
Yeah, it was a. Was this the first of these movies that had the big ensemble cast like this?
Seemed like it because
they did Valentine's Day later, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. That's their thing. That's the whole like gimmick.
Well,
those kind of movies.
Well, that does it, I think, for this one. And we're going to do go around the horn, as they say in sports, and give everyone's final thoughts. The guests always go last. So I'll just say that this was a, you know, it was a nice, like, turn your brain off, watch a movie, and you know, I don't know if I'm going to be like, oh, man, you got to watch this. It's the best. But, it was fine. It was fun. I wasn't, you know, I didn't hate it. It wasn't the best acting I've ever seen in my life, but it kept me guessing on how things were going. Andy, what did you think of this one to wrap things up?
Like I said in the beginning, like I just didn't care about anyone and their relationships except for Gigi and Justin Long. And I would have seen more of them, but everyone else I was kind of just like, I don't know, mostly despicable. But I thought like even you wrapping it up, it's kind of weird like how they shot this. Like there were so many like, this story, then this story, then this story. It just seemed like a lot of unnecessarily cutting things. Like it seemed long, but
it was over 2 hours.
It was, yeah, it felt like it. So I think they could have definitely chopped some stuff up and maybe edited it differently. But crazy that they got this amount of talent to say those lines.
Yeah, those lines. There's like a bet. It's like, how much do you want to bet I could get Bradley Cooper to do this? So yeah.
But with that being said, I would act in this movie right away.
Yes. Hey, we might get the call, Andy, for he's just not that into you still.
I'm in. Luis Guzman's love interest.
How are you? Spinoff, man.
So Stephanie, any final thoughts on this one?
I liked it taking me back to 2009 and seeing all the technology that used to be around, and that was kind of cool. But yeah, it was okay for me. It was a good, you know, rom-com. Nothing it's very problematic, but it was a good time watching it. I mean, I liked all the actors. They're all great. So it's kind of cool to see how, you know, they progressed over these years, but yeah, it's all right.
Yeah. No, and Emmy, any final words here?
My final thoughts, I kind of agree with Andy and Steph how it's, I didn't really care about anybody. And I did enjoy having a flashback, like a peek back into 2009 with all the references and the fashion and technology. Like, wow, that's how it was back then. But I wouldn't recommend the movie unless you want to look back at 2009 rom-coms.
So up it all was, yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's not a movie I would like strongly recommend, but I could definitely see it being one of those movies that's like on TV and you don't change the channel and it's just kind of on or whatever. Mm-hmm. Again, rom-coms aren't really my thing, but
saying it too many times, maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
It's okay.
I see some future rom-coms.
We get it, Jack.
I'm very masculine, okay?
Look at this chest hair.
So that does it for the movie. Now, before we wrap up, we do have a little game we like to play. Andy, I feel like this is going to be a very easy one for you. 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Can you match anyone up to Kevin Bacon in 6 moves?
Yeah, and you set me up perfectly today. I'm going to go Jennifer Connelly was in Top Gun Maverick, which definitely check that movie out, which has Tom Cruise in it. Tom Cruise is in A Few Good Men with Kevin Bacon.
I can handle the truth right there.
I went away from sleepers just for you. It could have went many rounds.
Yeah, this one probably, I feel like this one probably had like a bunch of them, but I like the route you went. That was a good one. Not the point here. Top Gun, Maverick. Incredible. We got to watch that movie at some point, because everyone's like, this is the best movie of all time. Like, I don't know about that. It's, I go to see it. 3 seconds in, they play the song, and I'm like, this is the greatest movie ever.
Yeah, I was very excited.
I was blown away. I'm not a fan.
But we are, but we're not going to talk about that movie anytime soon, because next week, or next episode, we're going to 2010 for Machete, and 2011 for Cabin in the Woods, and then 2012 for Silver Linings Playbook. What a weird jump around in movies we're doing.
More Cooper.
This year is definitely a weird one, but it will be fun, so make sure to join us. Before we sign off, though, I always have to ask everyone where they can find you. Find me, I'm Jack Farmer. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. Andy, where can we all find you?
You can find me at Just Andy Rossi.
You can find me at Steph Rock.
And Emmy, do you want the world to find you?
Sure, if they want to. Emmy likes it.
At Emmy likes it. That does it for us. Thank you so much for listening or watching. Hit the like, comment, share, subscribe button. Why don't you? We got to weigh out that 2-star review. So go ahead and do that. And thank you again. And we'll see you all next year.
Bye.